Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. This is episode 109 and...
Episode 2 of Con Month?
It's Con Month!
Yeah. Yay!
This episode of Con Month, we are actually... This is the last episode that you're going to hear from us until we have our post-con podcast at Anime Boston. We actually have a skip week next week because of Nerdy Show scheduling, so you won't hear us until April. Again, after this episode. So get in your Wicked Anime fix right now, because you're going to miss us. I know you will. You'll be shaking with the withdrawals and everything.
You're talking to, you know, like this is heroin to these guys.
Well, I could only hope so. This episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast for Con Month, we are going to be discussing in depth what has been announced for Anime Boston thus far. We're going to do some speculation stuff. We're going to talk about cosplays, and we're going to talk about everything that we're looking forward to. Maybe some projected stuff that we're going to buy. That'd be kind of cool, right? Did we talk about that? I don't know.
We talked about
what we weren't going to buy.
Yeah, we talked about what we weren't going to buy, but I was wondering if we had mixed in anything like, oh, but I do want to look for this while I'm there this year.
I don't know.
Did we?
Only if it contradicted with somebody saying what they weren't going to buy.
Right. But I think for Anime Boston News to start with, it would be happy to announce that we are going to be premiering our panels once again. We are going to be doing My Wife Who's Not Weird, which we got an hour and a half for this year. And we got a hardcore anime panel, which I think just may be our best year ever in production value. Anyways.
Yeah, this is going to be the highest production value year of hardcore anime, and we're very excited that we actually have some confirmed people that are going to be showing up to the panel, so we'll at least be able to show, like, 5 people.
Yeah, be there.
Hopefully, maybe we'll be able to fill the room full of 1,000 people.
That would be cool if they gave us the panel room C again. I mean, last year they gave us panel room C, which is one of their biggest rooms besides one of the halls. Which holds a little over 1,000 people, and we didn't fill it, but that's because it was 1 a.m. We were the last show at Anime Boston.
I'm telling you,
though. You know, I would love it if we had another, like, midnight show, because I think that would fit perfectly with what hardcore anime is all about.
Right, because the stroke of midnight, it all goes down.
I'm telling you right now, I didn't care that we didn't fill that room. That was the best panel audience we could have ever had for hardcore anime.
Oh yeah,
it fits so well. Like I think we almost did better than a panel that did fill the entire room because the audience was so into it.
Yeah,
we are not gonna name names, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Am I talking about that? I wasn't.
There were a couple that we went to last year. It was completely full, and I was glancing at you both with like horrified faces on you.
This year's Anime Boston is going to be super exciting. I can't wait to see what comes out of it. And we had some more guest announcements since our last recording.
Yeah.
They have more guests this year than any year, man. This is phenomenal.
We have. Let me scroll on over to Anime Boston's website right now just so I can get all of the announcements.
Or you could go onto the Boston Bastard Brigade site, which has been posting about every single guest announcement that has been announced thus far.
I don't even know who those guys are. Why would you even bring that up? Get that weird stuff out of here. Okay, so since we have last recorded, they announced Chris Sabat, Greg Ayers, Patrick Seitz, who will be returning again.
Jeremy Lee,
who else? Sandy Fox, Robbie Diamond, Lisa Ortiz, Lex Lang,
I only remember that it started with the Jeremy Lee announcement, because literally when we finished recording last week's episode, that's when they announced it.
Yeah, right, that's right.
Mm.
There was a super cool Japanese guest that they...
Oh, yeah, the guy who does all the horror stuff and used to work for Studio Ghibli?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Tales of Terror from Tokyo.
And the director of One Punch Man and Space Dandy.
Yes, that's right. He was a producer at Studio Sunshine. The horror animator that we're talking about is Hirokazu Kihara, who used to work for Studio Ghibli, and then he did in his horror. The other guest that we were talking about is Masahiko Minami, who, again, was at Studio Sunrise, and he was a producer on things like Cowboy Bebop, Escaflowne, Mobile Suit Gundam. When he was a producer at Bones, he was a producer on Knockin' on Heaven's Door, Full Metal Alchemist.
Still is a producer over at Bones.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's what he's doing now. Since 1998, which was like the greatest era of anime ever. But he's a producer on My Hero Academia, which is amazing. Space Dandy, Mob Psycho 100. I mean, like how much more awesome of a resume can you get for being a producer? You know, everybody's going to want to produce under this guy's name.
Hell, I want to produce under this guy's name.
Yeah, right?
I have ideas, dude! I've got ideas! Call me!
Yeah. Just throw scripts at him, you know? Like, you go into the press panel and just like, yeah! Just throw scripts at him and run away. So, that's the updated Anime Boston guest list. And how many people is that? Jeez, 21 guests of honor, including musical guests as one unit. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. This is the pick and choose year for us people in the media. We're not going to be able to interview all these folks.
No.
As much as I really want to.
Well, yeah. with all the panels and preparation and floor coverage that Jonathan and I have to do, we have to do...
And general laziness.
Yeah, well, we have to enjoy the convention to some respect and not exhaust ourselves.
I think I might have to cut that out of the recording, because that is super unprofessional what you just said. There is no enjoyment in our work. Ever.
Either way, that Jonathan and I cut ourselves down to at least two guests, and we've met most of these guests already beforehand, so we actually have, like, lucky enough. It's just like, oh, who are we going to choose this year?
Yeah. Michelle Ruff's on that.
Yeah, for sure. Michelle Ruff is, we definitely want
to. Because we haven't. Ruff. Yes. That's a first.
Yeah. So. We've talked to Jeremy Lee, we've talked to Brina Palencia.
John Youngba.
Chris Sabat might be pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to Vegeta and Piccolo at the same time.
Vegeta.
Piccolo is my favorite Dragon Ball character, so.
Yeah.
Or at least one of them.
Really?
Yeah, so.
You're not going to try for Puffy?
We don't usually go for the Japanese guests.
Yeah. Usually when you're in the media and you have Japanese guests, you usually get that overbearing email saying, hey, before you release anything, the producers and the HR people from Japan have to see it first.
Yeah, everything must be confirmed.
It's pretty intimidating.
You know what? That hasn't happened in the last 2 years.
It hasn't?
No. Every time that I interview Japanese guests, they're like, yeah, go ahead, just post it, whatever. I think they become more trustworthy of us.
Maybe.
Hopefully. I'm not trying to scare them away.
Damn Westerners, they move into Japan, think they can westernize us. Well, we'll show them. They'll have to...
We'll take all their Western ideas and make them better.
We'll prove them.
Our Carl's Jr. is more superior than the American Carl's Jr.
Probably is.
I can vouch and already tell you that the McDonald's in Japan is far superior than the McDonald's in America.
Mm-hmm.
Teriyaki burger. That's all I'm going to say.
But we digress. We are getting far... Well, I mean... What am I talking about? We're talking about Anime Boston. That's what we're going to be talking about. But we're going to talk about some news pieces first, because that's to get that stuff out of the way. And then we can go back to Anime Boston, because that's what this whole episode's about. So, first we need to ring the news bell. Ring!
News.
Ring it!
Bing!
Okay. First up in media news, the most shocking story that is going to shake us in 2017. Hayao Miyazaki came out of retirement.
What? No.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
That was just so totally unpredictable. Oh, ooh.
Yeah, no. So Hayao Miyazaki came out of retirement, and he is working on another film. Who would have thought? Maybe he went back and he recently rewatched the Wind the Wind Rises and is like, well, maybe that shouldn't be my farewell film. Yeah.
I should do better.
Yeah. My favorite.
You know, I've always pictured him dying, and then 2 years later, they announce another film from him. Yeah. He's like, well, I tried being dead, but I just got so bored in my coffin that I decided, eh, I have another idea for this movie.
Yeah, could you imagine that, like, in the Studio Ghibli offices, like, just the ghost of Hayao Miyazaki comes on? Hey!
Yeah.
I got an idea for a movie. What?
You died.
It's just sad that I think that that would actually happen. And I don't really believe in ghosts, but I do believe that that would actually happen.
But you do believe in Hayao Miyazaki's ghosts. Believe in the haunting of Hayao Miyazaki's spirit. Studio Ghibli will forever be haunted.
You believe in the Hayao Miyazaki that will believe in you.
Do you think that he would, if he was an apparition, he would just come back as No Face? And everybody in the office would just, like, just accept it? There's just, like, a No Face just, like, slithering around everywhere, just looking at people, and everybody's just like, I'm okay with this.
Meh.
This is normal.
No gold, though. No gold.
Don't give
eat
him
you.
Any, don't give him any gold coins.
He'll eat you.
Don't accept any gold coins.
He'll eat you. Okay. Hayao Miyazaki will eat you. One of my most favorite illustrations of this whole thing was a comic that was posted on the Nerdy Show Lounge. Somebody in there posted a comic of his that, like, illustrates his retirement. It's a cat with Hayao Miyazaki's head on it. It's like, I'm going to retire now. And he walks out the door. No, actually, I'm not going to retire. He walks back in. You know, it's like the whole in or out cat. So, next up in media news, there was discussion of a crossover manga between two of the most prevalent anime last year, one at the beginning of the year and one at the end of the year, ReZero and Konosuba.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to have crossover mangas. Or they already have? I forget. Which
they're
one
actually
exactly?
Crossover light novels.
They're light novels. Okay, that makes sense because yeah. they're both light novel stories. So the only thing that they need to do the artwork on is the covers. Mm-hmm. So the article that we read about this actually had more information on a side story for ReZero, which was already in the anime, which was Wilhelm, one of the best characters in it. It was his backstory and how he met his wife and how he became the greatest swordsman ever. So they're actually expounding upon that by making another light novel that tells all that stuff, and then it actually has, like, a wedding day thing and their marriage and everything. So that's pretty cool. But the more interesting part about the article was the crossover thing, which they barely talked about at all. There's going to be two stories written by two different authors. One is from the perspective of Amelia going to the Konosuba world, and then one of the perspective of Rem going to the Konosuba world.
Mm-hmm.
So,
huh.
Are these stories written by the author of ReZero yes. or Konosuba?
Both, because Tapai Nagatsuki, the writer of ReZero, is writing the Amelia one, and Natsume Akatsuki is the author of Konosuba. He's writing the Rem one. And what, not a lot of people know this, but they're actually the best of friends. In fact, they meet on a weekly basis. They throw ideas back and forth one another for a couple reasons. Number one, to make sure that they don't have the same ideas and, you know, are going into their own stories. And number two, they like to share their own opinions and they like to share ideas on how to make each other's stories better and even funnier.
Interesting. Because both of them are nearly polar opposites.
Yeah.
I mean, Konosuba's funny and ReZero has funny moments, but for the most part, it's horrifying at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
And also, ReZero is not as good, just saying.
Well, it's good, but Konosuba has, like, reached godly, like, levels as of late.
It kind of has.
Yeah, and ReZero leveled off. It plateaued at some point, which is fine, because it plateaued at a good point where it was still a really good show, but it didn't get any better. And the ending of the anime, at least, satisfying, could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
But still good. I would recommend it. I would recommend ReZero for anybody who can tolerate it. Because it is a certain flavor of people. But everybody should watch Konosuba. That's the only
thing. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that they were friends. I wonder.
Oh yeah, they are very close. They were actually working on the concepts of ReZero and Konosuba at the exact same time.
I'm not surprised. I wonder if they were planning on doing a collaboration project from the beginning and decided that their ideas were too different, so they each wrote their own story.
My guess is they just maybe like one had one idea, one other had another idea during one of their weekly meetings and said, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this crossover? Make magic happen.
Yep.
And that's basically it.
Did you hear I have one piece of strange news. Did you hear about the story of the author of Wake Up Girls, Yukata Yamamoto, criticizing one of those idols who was stabbed at one of... Was she stabbed at one of her events, or was she just randomly attacked by somebody?
She was stabbed at one of her events, and she was... it was because she wound up returning a gift from a fan, and that fan got pissed off, so he went to one of her events and stabbed her repeatedly.
So,
to the point where she is somewhat paralyzed in the face, and she can still barely sing.
Yeah, and so Yutaka Yamamoto, his criticism was, regardless of what you do, you always look like a jerk when you return a gift. Now, that is not true at all. Unfortunately... Like, I would like to see both sides of the story on this one, but for Yamamoto, I can't really see his side of the argument because there's some very important missing details from his story, including this idol in particular was being stalked in a way, like kind of that Jodie Foster stalker sort of deal back in the day.
Yep.
And
if I shoot Ronald Reagan, Jodie Foster will like me.
Yeah. Or if I kill her, you know, then she'll like me. But it's weird that he weighed in on it that way. I mean, I'm wondering, because it was just a tweet, I wonder if, you know, 140 characters wasn't enough to actually express how he was really feeling. I don't know. But just the fact that he said that, you know, oh no, you look like a jerk because you returned his gift. Well, the problem is that, one, this wasn't his first gift that was mailed to her. Two, this wasn't the first time that he tried to get in contact with her. So there's a lot of underlying stalkerish things that happened before this whole thing went down in the first place. So,
yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, that was very strange. Very strange as it gets. And I find it strange that two people in the same industry weren't on the same side as each other. Because I'm sure that Yamamoto has fans, too, and... I mean,
I think he lost a big chunk of them after this comment.
Probably. I would imagine.
He lost a lot of my respect, let me tell you, because he was the one who directed the first season of The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, and I loved the first season more than the second season. And I liked Kanagi. I didn't really get into Fractale. Wake Up Girls was okay, but I've always respected him until he had to open up his mouth and say something stupid like this.
Well, hey, that's the industry. I mean, look at the directors in Hollywood. Some of the best movies in the world are made by complete and total jerks.
Ridley Scott, James Cameron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Harrison Ford said he would never work with Ridley Scott again.
Even though he is
now. Like 20.
Well, no, Ridley Scott didn't direct the new Blade Runner film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So technically he didn't even have to deal with him.
I wonder if he's probably producing it, though. And
yeah, he's producing it, but I don't think he stepped foot on this.
Yeah, that means that he'd be on set, so as long as they'll get Harrison Ford, but he's just like,
keep Ridley Scott away from me. get off my plane, Ridley Scott.
I don't want to see him.
I hate that guy.
Or maybe Ridley Scott kidnapped his
Why
family.
Why does it sound like Harrison Ford is just eating a big box of raisins?
Radar Harrison Ford impression, guys. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Get off my plane.
I wondered, did Harrison Ford ever say that to the golf course when he crashed?
Maybe to the golfer that he accidentally hit. Get off my plane.
Get out of my plane, spokes. Get out of my propeller. Wow.
Why did this turn to Harrison Ford? We haven't even started talking about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, well, we talked about Anime Boston a little bit, which is fine. I do have a fetish of the week, though.
Yeah.
It's time for Jermaine's fetish of the week. Woo! Have you seen the current trend in the quote-unquote thick anime girl?
I don't even know what that term means.
It means girl, you know, anime girls with like thick thighs and such.
Yeah.
Like you know that song, you know, by ZZ Top.
Like got legs. Like so, like not exactly a plus size girl, but not exactly a thin girl.
Although, yeah, Pachinko is a
yeah
quite popular character now.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a blonde supersonic.
Yeah.
And then there's also, but the thing that really kicked it off. Was that dragon girl from...
Yeah, from Dragon Maid.
From Dragon Maid. What's her name?
But Kana? She's not... She's not a
she's
quote-unquote
a kid, technically. She's got kid fat.
No. The one with the multicolored hair and the one who's...
Oh, Luko!
Yeah.
She's just... She's thick, but she's not fat.
Yeah, no, she's like a curvy, mature woman.
She is. She is very curvy. And, actually, if you notice when you watch, though, she has, like, the love handles, the muffin top.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice, no.
Yeah, so, like, and it's not the most extreme case that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Whenever it's like a healthy muffin top.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Whenever I see a plus-size character in anime, it's usually something kind of grotesque. You know what I mean? Like, they don't draw them as detailed as they do other...
They draw them comically.
Right, they look like a Weeble.
Yeah, every time...
Like Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Every single time you see a plus-size character in anime, especially a female, they look like they're drawn like like they were drawn on a napkin.
Like, even just think of, what's it called? Kiss Him, Not Me.
Yeah, right. When you see... When you see her in her fat form, she's a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of, like, just want to push her and see if she doesn't, you know, topple over.
Yeah, kind of the same with Masamune-kun, when Masamune was, like, a kid, when it flashes back to him.
And yeah, he's right? And he's like he's
little,
a circle.
Yeah, he's, like, a little circle kid, and it's not actually Masamune-kun.
There's also the tech guy in Akiba Strip. You don't see
him, that is true.
You don't see him very often. He's a side character, but he's literally two circles. And it's like whenever he's talking about whenever they need technology, they go to him.
Uh-huh.
It's a weird trend, but recently they started putting a little bit more detail into these characters.
Yeah, just basically designing characters to be a little bit bigger than a normal character.
And my thought is, I wonder if they're starting to do this because they're starting to realize maybe we need to make our girls with bigger boobs a little bit more shapely and a little bit more...
Well, because if they have bigger boobs, then they have to be proportioned to their bigger boobs.
Right, they have to have more fat on them in order to have more fat in their chest.
Yeah. Well, so, but that could be one thing because, you know, Japan is obsessed with their boobs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the other character, the other dragon girl who just showed up in Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, who also has a big chest, but is not... curvy.
Really? I haven't seen it yet, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well, keep in mind that it's like the running joke of the show. They're D cups because it's D for dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid.
It's stupid, but it's kind of... It makes you kind of chuckle a little bit.
It does. Well, it's... I think it's that absurdity, too, because it's just like, really? Did they just say, like, a joke for kindergartners? Like, it's D for dragon!
I don't know. I think Miss Kobayashi is the most attractive woman in the show, because... I like smaller chested women. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that bugs me about anime still. Like, every single anime that comes out and they, like, have a flat chested character, they always have to make fun of the flat chested character because they're like, aha, you're not attractive because you're flat chested. And I'm like, what does that say about me who likes flat chested women? I don't get
flat
it.
Flat is justice.
Flat is justice.
It means that you can walk right into Japan and have your pick of the litter.
Yeah, exactly.
So go ahead.
Yeah. Have my pick of anyone I want because I'm the only one that wants them.
Yeah.
Just saying.
FYI, there are a lot of big-titted girls in Japan, by the way. I've seen videos.
It doesn't matter. I don't want them.
What kind of videos?
You know the kind. I'm not going to say why.
Is there a pool involved? A very famous
There's
pool?
A couple of them involve a pool.
I don't know what this is. I've never seen this before.
Really? Yeah. I hadn't heard about it since this whole thing started. But if you look up thick, spelled THICC, nothing super not safe for work, but...
Yeah, I'm not familiar with
it. It looked like there's a Rage comic cartoon with it, too. There's a lot of SpongeBob thick memes, though.
Oh, God. Please stop looking. We don't want to get you any ideas.
Yeah, it's time for Waifu Watch. No, I'm just kidding.
Who's your SpongeBob waifu?
One of the things that they talk about in this meme in particular, too, this has to do with the absolute zone of the perfect area between the knee-high socks and
the skirt.
And where the skirt begins.
The absolute zone. Yes.
And when the knee-high sock is tight against the leg and you have that little bit of that bump that goes over the side, that, you know, that little bit of extra fat that squishes over the top, I guess that's prime for anybody who's like, yes.
Well, that's just a thing that happens because that's what happens.
Yeah, I know. I mean, knee-high socks are, like, they snap on. Like,
yep.
Like, they're very tight. So that happens to anybody, no matter what their weight is.
Yep. But this is where it starts.
But the trend,
children is the center of the universe.
But it is really interesting because this trend has been growing, and you actually really started seeing it show up when May from Overwatch showed up, and they're just like, "Ha! Finally, there's like a girl who has a little bit of meat on her bones and like not fat." But I don't see it.
The other one that I had noticed was Ochako from My Hero Academia, the girl who has gravity powers. Everybody's seeing her as a little pudgy, too.
Which she's not, but her hips are. Her thighs, I should say.
Right, which I think is maybe the biggest quality that they look for in the thick meme. I don't know. But I think we've talked about this long enough.
Another thing that I know for sure is that Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid is amazing.
Yes. I've called it, like it said in my review, like the winter show of 2017.
I'm so happy with Miss Koyobashi's Dragon Maid. It's, oh my gosh, I enjoy every single episode every day because it's the perfect day too. It's a Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. You're sick of everything by this point, and what comes out? Konosuba and Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, and you're just like, thank you, Wednesday.
Bring it, win Wednesday back.
Yeah, Wednesday back. With the two
Showed
best to shows.
Those sorts of dreams.
Yep. Two best shows of the week.
Yeah.
Or of the season.
Oh, big giant ball. Quit squishing me. Ah.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. You'll see in the next episode.
Okay. Can we talk about the latest episode of Konosuba, though, which was they were in the caravan race to go to the hot springs.
Is this kind of counting as what we're watching? Because
we're
not really watching anything new.
I'm not either. Actually, you know what? And that was Japan's Finish of the Week!
Yay.
Okay, now we can talk about it. The latest episode that they did for this was the one where they actually get to the hot springs.
Yeah.
But the beginning of the episode was one of the funniest sequences I'd ever seen in Konosuba.
Oh my gosh. When it first started and...
When that ostrich did the backflip... over darkness.
I texted you, it was like, this show just went full-blown Looney Tunes.
It did, and it reminded me of one of those, like, musical Bugs Bunny cartoons where...
I was
like,
saying more Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner.
Yeah, it could.
But just the fact that darkness's mission was to get trampled by the ostriches, and then it does a backflip over her.
Yeah.
It was just so... especially because it does, like, such a graceful backflip, and...
But just the continuing trend of everybody thinking how awesome and brave they are for doing the things they do. Like the fact
I'm
that
so
there
sorry,
were
I'm
zombies.
So sorry, that's not why she's doing it.
Yeah, like the part later on where like they got attacked by zombies, and the fact that they got attacked by zombies was because they were drawn to Aqua and her priesthood. And so she destroys them, and everybody's like, ah, she's amazing, she destroyed all those zombies. And then there's in the background, Kominosai.
Yeah.
You know, just like, I'm sorry.
One of the things that I thought was really funny about that was she did the turn undead magic for the whole area, and she tried and she almost killed what's her name?
Wiz.
Yeah, they just call her Wiz, but that was just so funny. It was such a clever
joke. She kind of looks like the screen painting while she's being like
resurrected with. And the funny thing is I knew that was going to happen. I knew what they were getting at by like the sequence of events, the comedic timing, and the layout of the thing. I knew like that was what was going to come, but it was still just so funny that they did it, even though I knew that's what they were going to do. Like,
yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah, the first half of that episode was on point for Konosuba.
Yes.
And then subsequently, the episode before that, when they were like still on the caravan on their way to go, so good. And like they turned around the Aqua Tantrum, where Kazuma was yelling, like, completely in her face and just yelling and degrading her and demeaning her. And then, like, you think she's going to fire back with a tantrum, but it just shows her she's just going...
Yeah.
With, like, tears in her eyes, you know? Oh, it was just
like,
so
you
good.
Almost feel bad for her, but then you're like, she kind of deserves that. I just started reading the light novels, which I read the first one in, like, under 2 hours because I couldn't put it down. And there are things in the light novel that they don't show in the anime. Yeah. So it's definitely worth reading.
Very nice.
I'm guessing it's written like a Douglas Adams book.
A little bit. I would say it has some aspects of Douglas Adams. We haven't even touched on the second half of episode 8.
Yeah. With the cult. Well, more specifically, Aqua's cult.
Yeah.
Like, the cult that Aqua created. The girl at the fountain who, like, drops the apples and is just like, you should come to the ceremony with me. And he's just like, no. And then she just completely disinterested.
No. It was the Eris thing.
Yeah, it was the Eris thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Kazuma, can we move here?
Yeah, oh my gosh, that's right, because they, like, spat in the face of her god, and she got turned on by it. Like, ugh. Yeah. Yeah, and it was funny, because she just goes, like, ugh. Like, like, just a little one, and he's just like, Cosmo was just like, are you turned on by that? No.
And then he goes, then why did you go, ugh?
Yeah.
Well, I do want to quickly say I did finish Seven Deadly Sins on Netflix.
Oh, you did?
I watched all 24 episodes and the 4 bonus ones that were just released. Very great show.
Yeah. It seems like it's a very classic shonen style show.
Somewhat. I mean, it's got a tiny bit of like the perverted humor, especially with Melodious and him always wanting to squeeze Elizabeth's boobs and butt in some cases. But it does a great job too at balancing the humor with some of the more dramatic aspects, especially when it goes into the backstory on like the Seven Deadly Sins and each character. I found it to be very good. Like, it reminded me a lot of Fairy Tail, but a more, I don't want to say coherent Fairy Tale, but
refined.
More refined Fairy Tale. So, I know it just was announced that Funimation is releasing it on Blu-ray in May. I might actually pick it up because I thought it was really that good.
Mm. Hey, speaking of Netflix, this isn't what we're watching, more of a media news thing, but they were talking about a Devilman series.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, based off of Gonagai's original manga, Netflix is going to pick up, but they didn't say whether or not it was going to be live action or animated, or whether or not it was going to be Western or Japanese.
Although they did show a picture of like an animated Devilman, so odds are it's going to be an animated series.
Well, it looked to me, the picture that they used, it looked like one of those 1970s movie posters, you know, like an old style. So I wasn't sure whether or not they were going for an artistic look, or if they were going to say, like, this is what...
All I know is, if they're basing it off the manga, it better be gory and it better be scary.
Yep.
Those two things.
I think it would be really cool if they took a page out of... I don't know if you've ever heard of the Hammer Films. It was a film company that specialized in... specifically in horror. And Christopher Lee played Dracula in a bunch of those movies. And it was...
Oh my,
like,
gosh, do you mean like...
Like, there was, like, really gory, like, the blood was always, like, bright red and thick.
I know what you're talking about, and I know which, and they're all, like, really bad movies, but...
But they're awesomely bad movies.
Yeah.
But if they were to film it, and if they were to make this Devilman series, if they did a live-action version of it in the style of those movies...
Wasn't it?
But with a better budget.
The Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf.
Oh, yeah, Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf. Playing Stefan Krosko.
The alternate title is Howling 2, Stribo Werewolf Bitch. Oh, Sturba. Yeah, Sturba Werewolf Bitch.
Sturba. Sounds like a Till Lindemann world.
Yeah, right. Sturba. Yeah, Sturba.
Sturba. But if they were to do Devilman in that sort of fashion, I think it would be really cool.
It kind of already is, in a way. So,
it came from that same era of gore and high budget stuff, which seems like it's coming back with companies like Vinegar Syndrome and Arrow. There are these guys who I keep noticing at local Newberry Comics that they keep releasing old 1970s gore films. They're called Arrow Productions, and they release these kinds of Hammer films and Canon and stuff like that on Blu-ray. So I've always wanted to check them out, but like their releases are crazy expensive. So back to Anime Boston. There's always a lot of things that happen at Anime Boston. This year's theme is one of the greatest themes of all time, which is retro. And we've actually based our panels off of such. We've themed it in that way. And I think Andrew has edited something together for it that he said that even though it's for this year's theme, it's probably going to continue from years to come.
Yeah, I think even though we're building this for the retro year, it's probably going to be forever. Because it's just so well... I'm so proud of our product.
Now, every year we talk about certain things like what the main cosplay we're going to see is and what the premiere could possibly be, all sorts of stuff. And I kind of want to take some time to speculate on that. What do you think?
I would like to... I believe the premiere is going to be surrounded around My Hero Academia, the second season of it. Because Funimation did announce that they're gonna be releasing the dubs of My Hero Academia Season 2 on the same day as the Japanese broadcast.
So, you have piqued my interest because I never even considered that. And you could be on point. See, I was...
Especially with the Studio Bones guy being there.
Right. And I was trying to mull it over, thinking like, well, there's like a bunch of people from Sunrise, and then they also had people who were going to, people for Danmachi, and Danmachi has already been technically announced, and they have, you know, casting and everything like that, so that one is
kind of like... Yeah, and Danmachi was going to be released a week before Anime Boston.
Right, and then... And then on top of that, Sentai Filmworks is releasing it, and they're not a main distributor for Anime Boston. They're just there. Not like Funimation or Crunchyroll. Like, if it's a Funimation or Crunchyroll thing, that's the property that we're going to be looking for. And what
I
do you know?
Another year would be when Sentai reaches that level.
I could see that. I could definitely see that happening. The Sentai Filmworks reaching a higher ground soon enough because they are taking on some pretty good properties.
My idea for the overwhelming anime or overwhelming cosplay this year, believe it or not, I think we're going to see a lot of Overwatch. Just like tons and tons of Overwatch everything.
But wasn't that last year too?
No, not as big.
Yeah.
Like people were getting into Overwatch. But I think now we're gonna see an influx of Overwatch.
Right.
Even though it's been out for a very long time, everybody, even Victoria was like, "I'm gonna cosplay May." She's not going to, but that was her idea for this year. That was gonna be one of her cosplays.
She had most of the pieces, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. But I could see that maybe, but I was thinking that it could probably be something like Seven Deadly Sins because that one's on Netflix and.
I wouldn't even know how to look out for that, honestly.
I do.
I don't know. I know you do, Evan, but I haven't started watching it yet.
Just look for Giantesses.
Deanna is best girl on that show.
I'm trying to think of something else that was super prominent recently that everybody's been geeking out about.
I can't really think of it, to be
completely
honest.
Well, I do see a lot of people dressing up as Rem from ReZero.
Yeah.
There could be some Konosuba. I'm already even picturing there are going to be some people dressing up as Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
I think that there's going to be a couple, but
I think there's going to be a couple Dragon Maids. There's going to be a couple Konosubas. I don't really see them being.
Well, remember when we went to Anime Boston last year? We sat behind someone who was already dressed as Mega Man, and they just finished the first season of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they did actually.
I know.
Yeah,
and you see, the thing is, if people are dressing in cosplay for Konosuba, it's always Mega Man. People are only cosplaying Mega Man. There was one group that
Come to me, all you Mega Man cosplayers!
there was a guy with a Mega Man who was dressed as Kazuma.
Yep.
But yeah. That was it.
What about,
That was at another anime convention, right?
I think so.
Because I took the picture of that.
Mm-hmm. What about My Hero Academia? Could My Hero...
What about it?
I mean, couldn't it be a prominent cosplay?
I don't know.
To be honest with you, I mean, I could picture some people dressing it up, but I don't see it as being prominent.
It's really weird because this year, I really don't see it being, like, because, you know, every year you're just like, oh my gosh, like, Black Butler is going to be huge. Oh my gosh, Attack on Titan is going to be huge. Oh my gosh, Full Metal Alchemist is going to be huge. But this year, I really don't see that happening.
Dragon Ball Z and Naruto.
Actually, Dragon Ball Z might be. Because Dragon Ball Super is coming out, so there might be a lot more Dragon Ball cosplayers.
That is true, but I wanted to reach the point where, like, last year, there was just so many great anime that it makes it really hard for cosplayers to choose how they should dress.
I don't know, because there's always one anime that gets more popular than the rest, because there's so many people who are not like us and watch every show on the face of the planet. They only watch what is recommended to them.
Right.
Right.
And there's always that one show that gets recommended more than it is, and that's the one that gets everybody going, the same way that, you know, Black Butler got huge, and we had a Black Butler Con that one year, in 2012 or so?
Yeah,
2011?
The only thing that I can think of is, like, Erased. But, like, who's gonna cosplay from Erased?
So normal people clothing.
Yeah, exactly. Normal people clothes. Unless somebody's going to get the red coat and red jacket to...
Or the scarf, the yellow scarf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there could be more JoJo, too.
There definitely could be more JoJo.
The popularity of Diamond is Unbreakable.
Yeah, which is weird because Diamond Dust Crusaders is the best.
Well, there's always going to be
Stardust Crusaders?
Stardust Crusaders is the best.
Although, did you see the picture of the live-action Jotaro Kujo for the live-action Diamond is Unbreakable?
No.
He fits the part.
Really? I've seen live-action...
Josuke?
Yeah.
Meh. It looks like a Japanese guy.
Jotaro is Japanese.
He is a Japanese guy.
I know, but, like, it looks like every
Japanese... We did it! Yay!
It looks like every Japanese guy. Just like, I'm in a movie. Like, and I'm supposed to look handsome. I can't picture there being a super dominant cosplay this year, other than people wanting to do Attack on Titan again.
Love Live.
Or maybe, which I really...
There were a lot of Amaro-chans last year, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't dominant.
I kind of like 20.
20 out of... 25,000. You're right, though, Evan. Cosplayers are like cockroaches. You see one, there's usually a million more somewhere hidden in the walls.
But it is funny, though, because Amaro-chan did make a weird impression amongst anime fans, where there are so many people who just loved it. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't, but maybe I'll give it another chance when I have the time.
Yeah. There were a lot of Amaro-chans.
It's not that hard of a cosplay either. One, it's a cute cosplay. Two, it's an easy cosplay.
Yeah, which makes it all the more. We're talking as I'm staring at my Amaro-chan plushie, the big giant. Like when I bought this plushie, like I initially thought it was going to be like this small thing. No, it's a one-on-one scale of what Amaro-chan is like when she's in hamster mode.
Hey, speaking of buying an Amaro-chan plushie, what are you going to buy in the dealer's room?
I am actually going to try to find as much as I can of Konosuba and of Seven Deadly Sins.
It's probably a good idea.
You know what? I feel like if I'm going to walk away with anything this year, I'm going to walk away with everything My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
Plushies, manga. I haven't bought a single volume of manga yet, so maybe I'll wait till Sunday and they want to get rid of it all, and I'll just wipe out every single volume.
There's a lot of anime coming out in March, and I know it's probably a really bad idea to go to an anime convention and buy the upped-priced version of anime, but man, it's going to be all right there.
Good thing I got my tax return! Yeah,
exactly. you know, you have Don Machi coming out. That's like the one that's the forefront of my mind, so I said it first. Everything at Otaku Joe's. Dude, if Otaku Joe is back, I bought so much stuff from him last year. I'm buying a lot of Otaku Joe merchandise because he finds incredible stuff.
Yep.
So maybe he'll have Gunsmith Cats this time.
See, and that's what I asked him the last year, and he's just like, dude, if I had a Gunsmith Cats, he's just like,
I wouldn't be giving it to you.
Yeah, like, it's so rare and it's so expensive because it's so rare.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean I won't stop looking for it because Gunsmith Cats is freaking awesome.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if it gets a re-release sometime soon because they did release the they did a Kickstarter for the driver on that show.
Yeah, Riding Bean.
Yeah, Riding Beam.
Well,
I wouldn't be too surprised if they did one for Gunsmith Cats right afterwards. And I would so donate to that Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah. Well, Gunsmith Cats is a 4-episode OVA. So it's not like it'd be super intensive remastering it. But it needs backing for sure. And I would totally back it because it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm probably going to end up walking away with a lot of DVDs this year.
Yep.
That's actually a really interesting thing because I usually try to walk away with a lot of figurines. I mean, I'm still going to be looking out for, you know, my Monster Hunter stuff. And I'm definitely going to be looking out for Fire Emblem stuff as well this year as I think those are the two I normally look for is Fire Emblem and Monster Hunter.
I'm going to walk away with a lot of Pucho.
Yeah, they have Pucho there for sure.
Which is candy for all of you who don't know. If you haven't seen our snack video, Pucho's the bomb. Yeah. Diggity.
just to quickly ask about cosplay, as I'm staring at the poster I got, do you think there's going to be a lot for Zelda for cosplaying?
Oh.
It's a good point.
The Breath of the Wild.
A lot of Nintendo properties, something we didn't even consider.
Because we're right on the cusp of the release of the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. Which is great.
And that's a pretty dang good thought.
You're very right, because I remember the year that Skyward Sword came out and how many Skyward Sword Zeldas there were, which is my favorite Zelda, by the way.
Yeah, the cutest Zelda?
Yeah.
It's not the best Zelda game, but it's the best Zelda design.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Little
FYI, King Zelda. Breath of the Wild is so overwhelming of a game.
Overwhelming?
Overwhelming. Like, there's just so much. Huh. That it kind of, like, makes you tired after looking at it and playing it for an hour.
I've been playing Final Fantasy VII.
Yay!
Oh my gosh, talk about a walk down memory lane. That was my gaming news. Just living, basking in the, oh my gosh, Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know when. But I'm hoping this year because it's the 20th anniversary of Final Fantasy VII.
Mm.
Can you believe that? Can you friggin' believe that? There's kids that are born that were born freaking before. They're in high school, and they were born after it came out, so they didn't even experience Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I was trying to talk to my game design class, my high schoolers there. I was talking to my game design class about Final Fantasy VII, and I only connected with, like, one of them.
Oh my gosh. So sad. One of the best RPGs ever created.
They're like
kids these days.
I mean, like,
shut up, Grandpa. We're talking about Final Fantasy 15 with.
We're talking about Call of Duty.
Kids these days are like, wait a minute. You're telling me that there were two systems before the PS3?
What are you talking about? Xbox?
Kids these days. Kids these days. About they don't know. Kids these days. Kids these days. Kids these days. They don't know. Kids these days.
I feel like a grandpa just thinking about all them old NES cartridges I used to have to blow into in order to get them to play.
Okay, so let's wrap this back around. Mm-hmm. We're getting older, and we're still going to anime cons.
Yes.
Yep.
Like, how prominent is the age demographic at Anime Boston, do you think? Do you think it's getting younger, or do you think the older people are staying? Are the older people going away?
It's actually a really interesting thought. And now, we're not, like, old.
No, we're not. No. But we're getting older. There comes a point in your life where it's like, okay, you have to decide whether or not you want to be doing this fun stuff anymore and join the adult world, or you want to...
Well, you see, the way I look at it is we have already made our space in the anime convention industry only because we decide, hey, we're going to do press and we're going to cover the event.
Right.
Hey,
right.
We're going to do panels and we're going to entertain people. Hey, we're going to, like, and we make productions and we do all this stuff to entertain the younger audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And with hardcore anime, the older audiences.
It's really easy to make younger audiences laugh. You can just say the word lit and they go crazy.
And the thing is you have people who do the same thing. You have the guy who does bad anime bad.
Yep.
And he's a seller in the dealer's room.
Yep.
So he sells DVDs in the dealer's room and he does panels on this stuff. So he's an older generation gentleman who goes to the anime conventions to sell and be a businessman and entertain.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Typically what you see is the older crowd goes into the profession.
Yes.
And then that's how they stick it around. And like kind of what we're doing, we're old.
Right.
We're getting older, not old.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying that we're old people. I'm just saying that the people who go to anime conventions who are going for fun are usually on the adolescent side.
Yes.
You know, and...
Well, I do remember my first Anime Boston when I went, and it was very much a... And not to mention I was an anime fledgling at the time.
It was just a very different experience going to your first anime convention.
And you got that, what do I do? kind of a thing.
So much fun!
It is so much fun!
And it still is that way, except I look at it differently now.
Yeah, I miss the magic. Missing the magic of going to an anime convention and being like, there are people like me, and we're all in the same place. Oh, look at that! Oh, look at that! Like, you're going into the... And, I mean, the dealer's room remains my favorite thing to do at an anime con, but going to your very first anime con and being like, what is all this stuff?
Yeah. Now you just look at it and disgust you.
Yeah, look at it and be like, look at these doujins that I'm buying and putting in my bag and nobody can see them. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
Disgusting doujins that I'm buying. Do you have Bakemonogatari? Disgusting.
There's this picture, rather, there's this scene in the Black Butler Book of Murder where it's Sebastian watching a play and he's got like the giant bifocal spectacles, like the binoculars watching it. And I just pictured that being like us when we try to look at doujin but want to look like perfect gentlemen.
Yeah, like what? Like trying to stay back as far as possible while at the same time trying to see what they got.
Yeah, you just look at their Dakimakura covers from the side and go like, oh, what's
well, you see, yeah, what are you selling here?
What could be
over here? I didn't even realize.
I guess I'm going to have to review it.
I didn't even realize. I'm like right here. And
hey, you know what everybody should do this year? You should go to Anime Boston. It's going to be at the Heinz Convention Center in... That's attached to the Prudential Center, which is one of my most favorite places in Boston.
Yeah.
Mostly because
Anime Boston's there.
Yep. Anime Boston is taking place from March 31st to April 1st. April 2nd.
April 2nd.
And it's a great time. Anime Boston is one of the largest conventions on the East Coast. Definitely one of the largest anime conventions, if you want to get more specific.
Well, yeah, it's definitely up there with the giants. Mm-hmm. Like Otakon and Anime Expo and...
And it still feels like a community, like, when you go there. You know?
As I say every single year, Anime Boston feels like the biggest little convention there is. Because, yes, it's a big convention, but everybody feels so homely. And... Anime Boston is really one of the most amazing... I mean, and we obviously go to our fair share of conventions around the year, and Anime Boston just continues to be my favorite.
Well, our speculations are still a little bit vague, so we're not sure what's going to come out of it, but I certainly can't wait. I think that Anime Boston is just going to have big things coming.
I will also mention this, that for anybody who likes to watch our YouTube stuff, I will be posting after Anime Boston the thing that I made for the hardcore anime panel. It's not anything that I have to censor. It's not anything that we have to cut anything out of because we made it from the ground up. There's no licensed property. So even though you guys don't always get to see the hardcore panel, you get to see all the custom stuff that we're making this year. Mm-hmm. Almost all the custom stuff we're making. You can't see anything that involves Rise of the North Star. Sorry.
Do we have any fan service?
Yeah, that's right. We have an article to talk about. We do have an article to talk about, and it relates to a fan service that we got last time from our newly introduced Wicked fan, Trey.
Yep.
Hey. Trey, last week, if you remember, asked us why there's all this incest stuff in anime. And we gave him, you know, the answer that we knew, but we found something online, and Evan shared with us one of the most fascinating and nastiest things I've ever heard, which is the history of incest in Japan.
Yeah.
and where all this origin stuff may have come from.
For the record, Japan doesn't really like to talk about it either.
Yeah.
So, the last written article about it was in 1991.
Yes.
So.
And for good reason, but it was, I read it and it was disturbing yet fascinating just how, what it was, you know, so back in the Imperial Japan, back when Tokyo was Edo.
It was also Arrow, yeah.
What? Sexy times. Anyway, there was this thing where they would keep everything in the bloodline. So that's where the common practice of cousins marrying each other stayed and is still legal in Japan today.
Apparently, though, if emperors were to have, like, their wives die and they didn't have an heir to the throne or anything like that, they would marry their daughters. Yeah.
And that
historically,
to me is just weird and
gross.
Believe it, gross. Believe it or not, today the Japanese people believe that there are long-term effects in their Japanese genetics, like that they have weird effects to because of the inbreeding that happened in Japan so long ago.
Although one of the funny ones is that that's where they think allergies came from, but then they came to the West and were like, oh, they sneezed too.
Yeah, so. They didn't know that everybody has allergies, yeah. Which I thought was really funny. But
yeah.
There's been historical events as well that lonely housewives, because the fathers would be away for so long, that lonely housewives, if they lived in a family where they all slept in the same room together.
Which actually is common in all Eastern cultures.
Yeah, in Eastern cultures, you know, you sleep as a family. That if the father was away for weeks on end, that lonely house mothers would, attack their hormonal teenage sons.
Yeah.
And this was documented back in 1991, the last written record, by psychologists in Japan. That there were multiple cases of this, which is ew, but also wow, really?
So hello, like Oedipus complex.
Yeah, exactly. These huge Oedipus complexes, and you know you have manga, let me specify H manga that has a whole genre of incest-based stuff around mothers and sons, as well as siblings. Falling in love, and
here's the thing though, why is that? Why do they have the mangas and they have everything like that? It's because once something becomes taboo, it is set in your mind, oh, that's wrong. Well, guess what? I'm gonna secretly like it. You know, it's kind of like the it's kind of like the reverse psychology of telling a high schooler don't do that and they'll totally do it.
Well, but the thing is, you know, here in the West we may find it a little weird, but in Japan it's almost historical.
Yeah.
And so because we're just like, why does it happen so often in their media? Well, they have it happen so often in their media because
and it's still not illegal there. Either.
Yeah, there's still no written law saying that you cannot do that stuff. But they just don't do it because they know about...
They know it's bad.
Well, because they know about genetics now.
And as soon as the West introduced themselves to Japan, like America and the British came over to...
And Jesus!
Sorry, that made me laugh. That was from a video, The History of Japan. If you haven't seen it, it's amazing.
Yes.
On YouTube. When the Westerners found out, like, dude, Japanese are sleeping with each other? Like, they're like, you guys
they're
are
walking around naked? Arr! Yeah,
and then Japan is like, oh, we're weird. Why are we doing that? Like, how come we're weird? And then it's like, maybe we are weird. We should stop doing that. And nowadays, it is completely weird to them. It's something that is just completely foreign.
Modern society, it is a weird thing. Don't get us wrong. We're saying that, yes, Japanese people understand genetics, and they understand flaws, and they do not sleep with one another as a family.
Yeah.
Like, they...
Well, they do. They sleep in...
No. They sleep
like a family
room,
but they don't just sleep with
each other. They don't get naked and have the sexy times with their family members. Well, maybe some of them do, but they're not normal.
We don't talk about
that. And...
It's or emo.
But, that's why... One of the reasons why we may or may not see it in the media. And I thought this was fascinating. We found this article on Anime News Network by the Anime Answer Man when somebody asked him about why they see it. And so go read that article.
Maybe it was Trey who asked him.
Maybe it was Trey. No, I don't think so.
I'm not satisfied with their answer. I'm going to go to the main source. Yeah. Anime News Network.
Which is a good idea, because he gave a really amazing answer. Yeah. So guys, go read the Anime Answer Man.
Yeah, he did. He gave an amazing answer. He did actual research.
Yeah. Well, no, we knew our stuff too, but he just had more.
Yeah, well, we know which anime characters kiss each other, yeah.
No, Chalin. Anyway. So that was part of our fan service, but continuing on to the fan service, we actually got word from Keto, Wicked Fan Keto.
Yeah. How's he doing?
Good.
Is he cold?
In Canada? I don't know. Probably. I think everybody's cold in Canada. Right, Sean? That's Frostbeard, the porn master from Friday Night Fan Fiction. Anyway,
Bacon.
So based off of our discussion about where does Moe come from, and the evolution of Moe and everything like that, Keto sent us a video that further analyzed, kind of had a little bit of a different opinion, had starting off of the same idea that we had, but had a little bit more input on where its origins could have come from and how long it actually could have been around. And this person claims that it could have been around since the early days, since when Bishojo first started becoming...
Well, they said that it could have even been as prominent in Astro Boy because of the stylized characters.
Yeah, so we're going to plug the anime channel Anime Every Day, and the episode was The Evolution of Moe Anime, where I don't agree with him entirely on all of his points. I do absolutely find his answer to be very interesting and fascinating, to the point where I don't disagree with him, because I don't think anybody is wrong on this topic.
Because nobody actually knows where the...
Yeah, and because nobody is wrong on this topic. It's just Moe Anime. But, go check out the Anime Everyday video, The Evolution of Moe Anime.
It is very good.
It's really good. It's really good. So, good on him.
Yeah, and then we also had a tweet from Scott on Twitter. And he tweeted us probably one of the coolest tweets of ever, which was Zelda Williams, Robin Williams' daughter, just posting a picture of a autographed DVD of Paranoia Agent from Satoshi Kon to Robin Williams. Rest in peace to them both. And her tweet was, "And people wonder why I'm such an anime nerd." So Zelda Williams is a huge anime nerd because of her father, who has an autographed copy of Paranoia Agent from Satoshi Kon, which is like time stands still in this situation. It's amazing how cool it is.
Right. Well, keep in mind too that she's named Zelda because of Legend of Zelda too.
Right. Well, I mean,
his most her father was a that. Big geek.
Yeah, and we miss him a lot.
We do.
Yeah, we do.
So we got this tweet. Another tweet too. There was a shout out from a listener of ours, a fan of ours, who apparently was working at the t-shirt company that was from...
Yeah, that Scream printed our shirts.
Yep. The Let's Play Princess, that's her name on
Twitter.
Twitter
handle.
And
I have it right here.
Yeah, she was working on our t-shirts, she didn't get to work on our t-shirts, but she did work at the company who printed our t-shirts, and she saw the screen for them. And then I guess she also met us at Anime Boston one year, which is great. She took a picture with us. I'm super happy about that.
Yep.
Unfortunately, we see a lot of people, and I don't remember exactly one's face when they tell us. But if you see us again, guess what? You're going to get to see us in those t-shirts. So we're really easy to spot out. And please come say hi to us. We love having fans come up and say hi to us.
Actually, the last tweet was actually moving in a week or so I can't. Sorry.
Oh, but even still... That is a shame. But even still, if you want to talk to us, we love getting in touch with our fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
We cannot express enough that without all of you, we are nothing. So please tell us who you are, because we love to find out. And in relation to that, if you want to help us out, Nerdy Show is a listener-supported network, and we need your help to keep the lights on. So if you want to support us, there's a bunch of different ways that you can do it. The easiest way to do it is by going onto iTunes and giving us a 5-star review. So 5 stars and a review. That would be the correct way to say it. And if you do, we will totally read your review on our show because it's so endearing. Another way, that's the freest way you do it. Another way that you could do it is you can go to patreon.com/nerdyshow and become a patron. Even any dollar amount will get you hours of stuff, and you can support the network that way monetarily. They always tell us that the best way to do it, which is, I'm inclined to agree, is to tell a friend. Tell a friend about Nerdy Show and tell them to listen to Wicked Anime because we're the best. And if you don't, that's cool. But if you do, that's even better. And actually, we do have a new review on our iTunes account, which is awesome. 5-star review from MattRocks22, titled Top Dogs, and just the utmost awesome review ever. We need more Wicked Aid, damn it. And then 3 emojis that look like they're foaming out the mouth. Is it drooling? I don't know. I want to say it's foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, it looks like it's foaming. This is cool.
Because that is the ferocity that you should be at when you're like, we want more Wicked Anime.
Cool. So thanks, MattRocks22.
You rock. Well, how else can they find us?
If you guys want to join in on our conversation and tell us, you know, actually, we talked about 3 different things. We talked about dominant cosplays for anime this year. We talked about
premieres.
Yeah, premieres, and we talked about
incest.
Well, I'm more going for what we're talking about at Anime Boston.
Okay.
We're talking about what we're gonna buy at Anime Boston.
Right. Okay.
Whatever.
Incest,
I guess.
No.
What? You can email.
You can't
us
buy incest, dude.
You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, at gmail.com.
What am I thinking of?
You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime.
I'm totally messing up Andrew's
flow.
Yeah,
you are. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have news and updates and whatever we're doing. You can also message us on there and send us your own news and updates if you would like. That's totally cool with us. You can find us at nerdyshow.com if you're not already listening to this podcast at nerdyshow.com or SoundCloud-WickedAnime and on iTunes, where we just read that new review on. You can also find our videos at nerdyshow.com, but you can also find mostly the videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. Where you can subscribe to us there and get all kinds of updates. Like I said, we're going to be releasing that video that is already done. It's just we just need to wait for Anime Boston to happen, and then we will release it. You can find us on the social medias, where you can tweet at us at YoWickedAnime, where we read those other tweets that we had. You can find us at Tumblr.com, where we tumble things, which is wickedanime.tumblr.com. And, of course, you can find us at TwitchTV.com, where sometimes we like to play video games, at WickedAnaPlay.
There might be a review video coming, or a highlights video coming out someday.
Someday. We're trying to get it's on its way. It's in production, and it is being worked on.
Teaching is really hard, and taking up a lot of my time, those damn kids.
Yeah.
Evans. Go ahead.
Okay. So for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you are in a band and want to be featured on our No Borders, No Race podcast, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter at king_baby_duck. On the J-pop, anime, and video games Amiibo pages at KingBabyDuckESH, on b3crew.tumblr.com, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. And there is a brand new episode of The Unboxing where I get to unbox the Nintendo Switch and the special edition of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. So please be sure to visit the YouTube page at youtube.com/electricsisterhood to watch that.
So the next time you hear us, it'll be after Anime Boston. Again, we have a skip week coming up, so... And then after that, our episodes are going to try to change their format a little bit because we're going to try to do something special for the 5th year of our podcast.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think that maybe we should change it up, try to make it a little bit more interesting. What do you think?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot quicker, and it's going to be a lot smaller.
And I think the main reason for that is because teaching is hard, and once I decide to balance out my schedule and see how I can better accommodate that, maybe that I need to maybe take a back seat from that and focus on other stuff. But you're still going to get the same awesome content.
For now, everything is exactly the same.
Right. So don't you worry, kiddos, and come see us at Anime Boston. Happy con month, and enjoy whatever con that you go to this year, because conventions are the best. Don't let anybody ever tell you that what you do is weird. It is, but don't let them ever tell you that
it is weird.
It is weird.
What? Especially if it's incest. Don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't do that, especially at conventions, because they have highly frowned upon it when you're in the convention center.
Yeah.
K-bye!
K-bye!
Disgusting.
Disgusting doujins that I'm buying. Do you have Bakemonogatari? Disgusting. But yes, that's
just
that
saying.
Like
just
you
saying it's disgusting doesn't give you a pass on buying the stuff.
Shut up.
This is gross.
Wicked A! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.